chapter 13 for tonight, and we're going to study the third cause of uncleanness. Chapter 11, we talked about the dietary laws, the clean and unclean animals. Chapter 12 last week, we talked about childbirth and giving birth to sinners into the world, as well as the loss of blood, all expressions of the effects of sin in the world that required a cleansing to be brought back in and function with society. And chapter 13 for tonight, a chapter that really means a lot to me. In our time of prayer, I mentioned the fact that the Lord would cause us to see ourselves and to see life the way He sees us and the way He sees life. Tonight we're going to study the third cause of uncleanness as God sees it, and it happens to be the perfect type of sin expressed in the Bible. It is called leprosy. It is, and we're going to study that tonight. And if you understand and realize all the implications that is brought forth here of the types of marks on the skin that need to be inspected. And notice what I'm saying. And we're talking all the way from any type of sore. In our day, it would be anything from a pimple to a scab to any type of mark on the skin would have to be inspected. And if there's anything suspicious about it whatsoever, that person would have to be separated and put aside for 7 days at a time. And after 7 days, if it was still suspicious, that person would still have to be separated and put aside for another 7 days until it could be determined whether it was leprosy or not. What's interesting, let's read the first two verses and we'll get into this a little bit. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore. In the Hebrew, that term for leprous or leprous sore is literally the word for stroke in the sense of a spot. I'll get to that in a moment. And it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron, the priest, or to one of his sons, the priests. That is, one of those priests serving under him. Now, a couple of things. I mentioned to you that leprosy is the perfect type of sin in the Bible. Leprosy represents sin in a perfect type, in a perfect way. The leprosy mentioned here, as I said, the word leprosy or leprous sore is the word for stroke in the sense of a spot. Any type of stroke or plague, any blemish on the skin would have to be inspected to see if it was leprous or not. Now, many believe, and rightly so, all the way from medical technicians to scholars, biblical scholars, believe that the leprosy that we know of as today is not the same leprosy that is mentioned under the Mosaic Law. This leprosy that is mentioned in the Scriptures here has all the way to do with regular leprosy, to elephantiasis disease, to tumors, skin cancer, running issues of blood or sores. Any type of social disease that has to do with the skin is mentioned in this term for leprosy. The leprosy, some even believe that it had to do with elephantiasis, which is called white leprosy. But we're talking about a wide spectrum of diseases of the skin. And it is presented in the Scripture as a type of sin. The reason it is because, number one, these diseases are infectious. It is contagious. Secondly, it starts out in a preliminary stage, and it spreads just like sin does. James mentions that in James chapter 1, verse 5. They're talking about God does not tempt us to sin, but we're led away by our own lust. And when lust conceives, it brings forth sin. And when sin comes to maturity, it brings forth death. All the stages of birth and the process of sin in a person's life. So leprosy, or these types of skin diseases that we're going to discuss tonight, is just like sin. It starts out with lust and ends up in death. As I said, it is contagious. Sin has spread upon the entire human race. The effects of it, once a person has been diagnosed as having leprosy, they must be separated. Sin separates a person from God. And that person is considered unclean, and they cannot function with society until they have been pronounced clean. Now, another indication, I'll show you some scriptures here in a moment, but notice at the end of verse 2 that when this is sensed to be a leprous sore, in order for it to be diagnosed, people are not brought to physicians. They are brought to the priest. And he pronounces a person either clean or unclean. Now, all of these laws have to do with ceremonial cleansing. There is no cure in this text for leprosy. A priest cannot cure someone of leprosy when they come for him to be examined or inspected, because there is no cure except for a miracle from God. And the priest is only pronouncing him clean or unclean. And just like with sin, man can do nothing about his sin. He must be cleansed by God, and that's a miracle. And that person must experience the miracle of the new birth and the cleansing of God through the healing of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 53, that when he died on the cross, he was bruised for our iniquities. All of our sorrows and all of our griefs he bore on the cross. And Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24 that by his stripes we were healed. There's a healing that must take place in a person who's born into this world, born with the sin nature, and that miracle of healing must come from God, and it's all provided through Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But the priest, he either pronounces them clean or unclean. There's no cure outside of a miracle from God. Now, according to chapter 14 that we'll get into next week, because chapters 13 and 14 deal with leprosy, is that there is a cleansing. Some people say there is no cure. God does perform miracles. Naaman's cleansing in 2 Kings chapter 5 is a miracle. It takes a miracle. A leper cannot be cleansed by a physician or healed. And by the way, all the terminology here is used. Ceremonial cleansing or uncleanness is mentioned. There's nothing about healing. There's nothing about sickness. It is all a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Scriptures. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 38. Psalm 38 is a psalm of David, To bring to remembrance of the Lord, his God, because his friends and his enemies were now bringing to his remembrance of all of his sins and pointing out all of his sins to him, and they are a burden to him, and he's looking to the Lord for the Lord's faithful healing and cleansing. But look what he says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. For your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh. And notice this, and he's complaining about the sin in his life just eating him away, but it is presented as a problem in his flesh, and he's going to mention plagues and sores as an example. Not that he literally has plagues and sores, but that's what sin does to his soul. And he's expressing it. There's no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. Is there any health in my bones because of my sin? For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering. Notice how he describes his sin in his life. He sees them as open sores that are festering and are becoming infectious throughout his whole life and his whole body. Because of my foolishness, I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are full of inflammation, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and severely broken. I groan because of the turmoil of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand afar off from my plague. Notice the word plague. The word we translated plague, that is the same Hebrew word for leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13. He sees his sin as a plague that is festering and inflaming his life. And he's using health terms of his physical body to describe the sin. And his friends see his sin and they stand off from him as if he is contaminated. Again, verse 11, my loved ones and my friends stand afar off from my plague, and my kinsmen stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares or traps for me. Those who seek my hurt speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But like a deaf man, I do not hear. And I am like a mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O Lord my God, for I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they magnify themselves against me. So he's saying, I have hope in you that as I confess my sin, you're going to cleanse me because my enemies are sitting there watching for me to slip so they can say, aha, see, you've sinned. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. He says, I'm going to confess my sin. I will be in anguish over my sin, but my enemies are vigorous and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. His sin was just eating him up, and he called his sin a plague. And it's the same word used in Leviticus 13:2 for leprosy. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. Isaiah says, alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel, they have turned away backwards. So lest you think we're talking about physical problems here, or physical illness, verse 4 tells us it's sin, rebellion, and forsaking the Lord. Verse 5, why should you be stricken again? He's talking to the nation Israel. You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. He's talking about Israel, God's people. And the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And he goes on to talk about the country being desolate. He's talking about the total man in sin. And he's applying it to the nation Israel. There is no soundness from head to foot. There's no soundness in it, but rather wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. And there's no bandage for it, and there's no ointment. It's just laying open before God. And it's a picture of the using the physical, the description of health problems to be an application to really what a person's soul goes through, what a nation goes through when they are in sin.
Back. Does that mean Uzziah? Did he get leprosy
for
going into the temple?
Mm-hmm. Back to Leviticus chapter 13. Three things in verse 2 that the priest is to look for. If there is a swelling on the body, that is like a boil. If there is a scab or a tumor or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous spot, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priests. As we read through this, keep in mind that this is the perfect type of sin. Keep in mind that everything that we're going to mention had to be brought to the priest, and he had to examine. So keep in mind the inspection process. Priests were inspecting people all day long. Any blemish or any spot on the skin had to be examined for leprosy. The priest shall look at the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, that is below the surface, it is a leprous sore. Then the priest shall look at him and pronounce him unclean, that is, he's defiled. He has to be separated. He's unclean, contagious. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore for 7 days. Now, you imagine if you just had a white spot, but it didn't seem deeper than the skin, and the hairs had not turned white yet. You know, there is a possibility, because we don't know what it is. You have to be isolated for 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall isolate him yet another 7 days, because we still don't know what it is. You know, and we're not concerned about the inspection of our own lives. If leprosy is a type of sin in the Scriptures, any spot needs to be inspected. We don't know what it is. Could be sin. So now it's been 14 days. Then the priest shall look at him again on the seventh day, and indeed if the sore has darkened, that is, the skin has turned back to its normal color, and the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only a scab. Now, this is just a scab. If you get a sore and it forms a scab, you have to be isolated. We don't know what it is. How many scabs do we get? How many white spots do we get on the skin sometimes? We don't know what it is. Can you imagine what kind of an inconvenience it would be to constantly have to come for every spot on the skin to be inspected? And, you know, what are you going to do about your job? Well, where's Bill today? Oh, he's isolated. Why? He has a scab. And he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So he has to wash his clothes. There must be a cleansing. Notice the emphasis here on washing all the way through. There must be a cleansing to be brought, to be considered to be clean. And so it is with Christ. Even if after 14 days it is not leprous, his clothes still have to be washed for him to be pronounced clean. So it is, we all get spotted, we all get dirty in our walk with the Lord, in this life, in this pilgrimage, and we still need to be cleansed and washed. Verse 7. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. So after he is released and said, you're clean, and the scab reappears and begins to spread, then he has to be seen by the priest again. Well, let's hope the priest didn't charge for office visits, huh? What? And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. Now, when the leper sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall look at him, and indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling. This is dealing with boils and the swellings of the skin. It is an old leprosy on the skin of the body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. No isolation necessary. This is leprosy. Open raw flesh, white, the hair's turned white. It is leprosy. No need to even check him. He's unclean. Put him away. And if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore, from his head to his foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed, if the leprosy has covered all of his body, he shall pronounce him clean. Who has the sore, it has all turned white, he is clean. That is, the skin has flaked all over his body, he is no longer contagious, he is to be pronounced clean. But when raw flesh appears, and there's the clincher right there, open raw flesh as a sore, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall look at the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest. And the priest shall look at him, and indeed if the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. He is clean. So the raw flesh turns white, which means he is no longer contagious, so he is pronounced clean. Now, if the body develops a boil in the skin, and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, maybe reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. You got to come to the priest again. And if, when the priest sees the skin and its hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore which has broken out of the boil. So it's an ulcerous sore. And he is pronounced unclean. But if the priest looks at it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, because the white hair denotes that underneath the skin, that it has died under there, so the hair is turned white. Therefore, it's below the skin, and it is leprosy, you see. But if, verse 21, but if the priest looks at it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and if it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days, because you got to check it out. And if it should at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So, you know, if a person has a boil and it heals, and yet it begins to change various colors and various shapes, and it's only the scar of the boil, but you don't know. You have to isolate him. There might not be anything wrong with him, but you have to isolate him. And after those 7 days, if nothing has changed or it begins to change back to a normal color, he's pronounced clean because it's only a scar. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire or some type of inflammation, it is a burning sore, either inflammation or a sore because of being burned. Boy, I'd be there every day. Those muffler burns on the arms, man, get you every time. And the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white. Then the priest shall look at it. And indeed, if the hair of the bright spot has turned white and it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. So even burns have to be watched because it can turn into leprosy. But if the priest looks at it, and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him for 7 days. And the priest shall look at him on the seventh day. If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. That is, it has spread. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread on the skin, but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. So this is just scarred from being burned. You've got to go see the priest anytime your flesh is blemished for any reason. And if you're thinking pimples, that's right. You have to check it out. Verse 29. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or the beard, then the priest shall look at the sore. And indeed, if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it a thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scal, a leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest looks at the sore of the scal, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore of the scal for 7 days. So if you get a sore in your head or in your beard, you have to be isolated to see if it's going to turn into leprosy or not.
Does that include dandruff?
Pardon me?
Does that include dandruff?
We're getting to that.
And on the seventh day, the priest shall look at the sore, and indeed, if the scal has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scal does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself. He can't be let go. He has to shave himself, but the scal he shall not shave. And the priest shall isolate the one who has the scal another 7 days, 14 days in all. On the seventh day, the priest shall look at the scal, and indeed, if the scal has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. He still has to wash his clothes. He's been isolated. That's right. Even when there has been a suspect of leprosy, you still have to wash your clothes to be clean. But if the scal should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, this is afterwards, then the priest shall look at him, and indeed if the scal has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair, he is unclean. But if the scal appears to be at a standstill, and there is black hair grown up in it, the scal has healed, he is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Now here's one. This one will get you, verse 38. I'll give it to you literally. If a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, I'll give it to you a little more literally. If a man or a woman has pale spots on their skin, specifically the pale spots that are called freckles. Then the priest shall look, and indeed, if these pale spots on the skin of the body are dull white, It is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, this is a good one. Because one of the effects of leprosy is you lose your hair. So if a person, and this is interesting, that as you begin to lose your hair for any reason, leprosy is suspect.
That's right. See.
As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. I kind of like those matter of fact. Hey, you're bald, but you're clean. It's interesting the effects of sin in the world and all the things. I mean, we tease about it and we see commercials, you know, Hair Club for Men, where you can get your hair back and all. I mean, under God's Mosaic law, how God looks at man and the effects of sin in the world is just amazing. I mean, if we caught the message of the New Testament and how serious sin is, and you know how we do with each other, we would, don't judge me, brother. You know, it's none of your business. We're not, you know, it's not our job to judge one another, and yet we're told to examine ourselves. We're told to judge amongst ourselves. I mean, here under the Mosaic law, if there was one little blemish on the skin, it could be a pimple, it could be a scar, it could be a freckle, it could be even all of a sudden you get up in the morning and the hair's falling out.
Well, I sure must have had
leprosy
back a few years back.
What's that?
I was bald.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You get up in the morning and you feel it's full of hair.
Hmm. Were you isolated? Verse 41, he whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is one who is bald, has a bald head or a bald forehead, a reddish white sore, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall look at it, and indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man, he is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean, his sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn. Three things here. His clothes shall be torn, and his head bare, and he shall cover his upper lip. That is, the clothes are torn, and the clothes are put up over the upper lip. He is shaved, and he cries out, unclean, unclean. Just like in the New Testament, whenever a leprous person came around people, he would have to yell, unclean, unclean, in order so the people would go out around him and not come in contact, because they are unclean. They are ceremonially unclean. They are impure. They are defiled to touch. Just
wasn't
like sin.
Israel the only nation, though, that did this, that separated the leper?
Well, I was reading that Egypt and Syria also practiced the same thing. And even though there are some people that even say that that lepers were not allowed to come into the sanctuary, Edersheim, in his book on temple worship, said that they actually built a special room for the lepers in the temple. And they had to come before everybody else got there, and they had to leave before everybody else left, so that they would never come in contact with people. But they were allowed in the sanctuary. But according to my research, that both in Egypt and in Syria, they practiced the same thing, the separation.
But Egypt always did. I mean, they yeah. even shaved the hair right. off of all their bodies.
Right. Right. But of course, as we're studying in Scripture, the reason God made it be that way is not only because of infectious sores and all, but because of this type of sin. You're not allowed to touch that which represents sin. Can you imagine? We're talking about dietary laws. We're talking about childbirth. We're talking about a blemish on the body. Just the inspection process. We think life is a pain in the neck. We think each other, we consider ourselves a pain in the neck when we say, what are you doing that for? You know, inspection. What are you doing that for? Sin. It's like, you got to be kidding. Leave me alone. Hey, sin is all over the place. We ought to be more than concerned about it. Look how much God was concerned about it. If there was a blemish on the flesh, well, you can get isolated for 14 days just for a scar. You were suspect if you had a freckle. And you were consolated and encouraged if your hair started falling out. You had to watch for sores, but if your hair fell out, you're okay. Of course, today, like I said, in our society today, it's like, well, these are all commonplace things. That's because sin is commonplace. Verse 46, he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His habitation shall be outside the camp. Separation is the result of leprosy. Separation from God is the result of sin. And the person will be unclean as long as they have the sore. And so a person will be unclean as long as their sin has not been forgiven. Verse 47. Concerning garments. Now you think that is a pain in the neck. We're talking about a mildew type substance or fungus that is considered to be equal to leprosy that might cause some of these sores. In the clothes. The clothes are unclean. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, doesn't make a difference if it's expensive cloth or cheap cloth. Doesn't make a difference if it's a rich person or a poor person. Sin strikes everybody. This is how infectious sin is. We're talking about being concerned about what's in our clothes. Whether it is a warp that is in the warp, that is in the fold, or in the woof, that is the texture, the weave of the cloth, of linen or wool, whether in leather or in anything made of leather. The first term, leather, is actually skins, as in goat skins. If it's made of goat skins or if it's made of leather from skins, doesn't make any difference. And if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the warp or in the woof or in anything made of leather, it is a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. Boy, those priests. Always looking at people's skin, clothing, if it had this reddish color or greenish color in it, this mildew substance had to be shown to the priest. The priest shall look at the plague and isolate that which has the plague for 7 days. Boy, you put the clothing aside, you've got to isolate 7 days. And he shall look at the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread in the garment, either in the warp or in the woof, that is in the crease or in the texture, in the leather or anything made of leather, the plague is an active leprosy, it is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether warp or woof, in wool or linen, or anything of the skin of goats, for it has an active leprosy, it shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest looks, and indeed the plague has not spread in the garment, either in the fold or in the texture of the garment, or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which the plague, and he shall isolate it another 7 days. So wash it and see what happens to it, if it hasn't spread. Then the priest shall look at the plague after it has been washed. And indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. Whether you can tell or not, if it meets these conditions, it has to be burned because it's eating away, whether it looks like it or not. Same with sin. The outward appearance, it might not be sin, but inward, it's eating away. Burn it. If the priest looks, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment. Whatever that spot is, it won't spread and it's not contaminant to the rest of the texture. He's to tear that part of the garment out, whether out of the fold or out of the texture or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the fold or in the texture or in anything made of leather, it is a spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that in which is the plague. Now, if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. Everything has to be washed. And nothing is pronounced clean unless it passes inspection after washing. So with sin, a person is not clean because of any human works. And it's the emphasis on the garments is just like it says in Isaiah, that the righteousness of man, the righteousness of man and the best works of man are as an unclean thing before God. Man's best works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. So there is no garment that a man could put on to cover himself. Everything is plagued by sin, including fabric, clothing, skin.
Even their houses.
Even the houses. Even on the walls. Anything. It's all a type of sin. Caused by sin. Disease is caused by sin. And sin is a disease of the soul. So whatever is physical outward manifestation, all these things that we're studying are physical manifestations of the effects of sin. And God's people, in taking so much time to go through these processes, somehow and in some way, God's Spirit ministers to people's hearts saying, this is just the outward physical effects of sin. Your soul also has been affected by sin just as badly, if not more so, than you spending your whole day worrying about spots. Think about how much your soul is spotted and how much your life is affected by just waking up in the morning. That is how contagious and infectious sin is. Do you think people would get the point? If we had to live under the Mosaic law and every little spot, we had to go to the priest, not the doctor, but the priest. And the priest had to say, let's see if this sin is going to be contagious or whether it's going to heal up, or what actually is going to happen. People would be constantly aware of sin all the time. Verse 59, this is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in the warp or the woof, or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. Next week, as we continue in Leviticus chapter 14, we're going to continue with leprosy. And we get into chapter 15, we'll see why leprosy is just a general term for skin disease, because we're going to study running issues of blood or any type of secretion out of the human body and how there must be a cleansing for that. You spend so much time in these texts, and the reason that it is important to take time in them and even reread them. Go back to chapter 12 and 13 and reread chapter 11 through 13 and just see the effects of sin and how God views sin. That's why He gave these laws, is because God sees sin this way. And God wants us to handle sin. He wants it confessed and forsaken, and He wants it inspected to see if it's sin or not. And we get so involved with ourselves and so defensive and protective of ourselves that we do not have an attitude of cautiousness and an attitude of inspection as to whether it's sin or not in the sight of God. We have to be overly cautious. In fact, you cannot be overly cautious. Constant inspecting, examining ourselves, whether it be of the Lord or not. In the first part of the book of Leviticus, we talked about the sacrifices for man to have fellowship and to come into the presence of God, to be sanctified and set apart for the Lord, But now we're in that portion of Leviticus where we're talking about this sanctification or holiness. This is what caused people. If they were unclean or defiled, they were set apart outside the camp and they could not participate with the camp. They were unclean and they were defiled. This is what sin can do as far as separating one from that proper fellowship with the Lord. Why we need to be overly cautious and constantly inspecting any little appearance of sin or possibility of sin. Because if God were to lay out these laws and say, you must keep these laws to walk within your sanctification that's been provided for you, how much more should we be concerned as to anything that might defile and contaminate our walk with the Lord? Nothing can contaminate Him. Nothing can cause Him to leave. But our walk with Him can be defiled. And we can feel that separation. It's like we were talking about Tuesday night that Stan brought out in his question about those who have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. What about those who were not? Well, they will worship the image of the beast. God's people will not worship the image of the beast in the tribulation period. But what about this in Psalm 51 when David says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. But that was in penitence. Didn't say God did, but that's what you feel like when you feel that separation from the Lord as if He has left, when in reality He hasn't. It's just the sin that separates us, deadens us. It's the
didn't have the Holy Spirit who put indwelling them in the Old Testament.
Well, they had the Holy Spirit with them. And there were people who were filled with the Spirit for
not everybody.
Right, for specific purposes. But that text in Psalm 51 is not a proof text for the fact that one can lose their salvation. But that's what sin does. But that's what sin does. Sin gives you that feeling, that sense of separation. Let's close in prayer.